You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo, Megan, and Jesse coming at you live on a Monday today. Almost the end of August already. Yeah, summer's almost over, which is, I'm okay with it. I'm at the point where I'm ready to be done with not having hockey. So... We'll see what we got for you over the next couple of weeks. Should be some interesting shows, to say the least. On today's show, we're going to be talking about the most underrated and overrated players in the NHL, in our opinions. I want to be clear, underrated and overrated is a very opinionated topic that people are going to wildly disagree on. So we'll see exactly how people feel about some of our takes here. So it should be a fun one. Looking forward to it. There hasn't really been any news in the NHL, at least not any significant news. I did want to touch on this really quickly just as we continue to keep things up to date, as it were. Still a couple of guys out there that could be interesting for the Avs, including Rodriguez. What are your guys' expectations at this point? Do you expect the Avs to continue to explore their options, or do you expect them to kind of just hold firm into the season?
I think they're done.
That simple, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you made it this far. Obviously, if there's anything out there they liked, they would be acting on it. You're this close. Your options are your options. You know what they are. You know who they are. You know, Stasny's off the board, Kadri's off the board. What else are you kind of pondering? You know what I mean? Unless they're going to go make a deal, which I also don't really see them doing either at this point.
I think as soon as the rumors of Kadri to the Islanders cropped up, that would have been the time I expected the Avs to do something when there was a little more certainty that Kadri was moving. And because they didn't, that's why I don't think that they're going to do anything now. Especially seeing where Stasny and Kessel ended up and the price points that they chose ended on. I feel like if there was an opportunity that the Avs were looking for, they would have been able to get it done by now if they wanted it.
It's a good point. It's not like these guys are getting paid a ton of money. So nothing? You think totally nothing? They won't even nibble around the edges like a 7th D or something like that?
Why spend the money?
Fair enough.
Just hold on to that. It's going to give you more flexibility as the season gets going. And again, like this isn't me saying this is going to happen. But if you're already at this point, why not just leave Mikko there? And I don't know, maybe he surprises you and fills that role nice, and you kind of can shift what you're looking for. Again, I'm not saying Miko's going to come out and solidify himself as a bona fide 2C. But, you know, if he comes out and you're happy with what he gives you, Landeskog can chip in. Help out. Maybe you like what you see out of Newhook and you're like, cool, yep, this is what we were hoping for. By the end of this season, started next, Newhook can slide in there. I just think if you're at this point, why? Like, there's nothing, like, what moves the needle for you out there that's worth spending money on?
I hear what you're saying, but also if you get a month into the season and the Avs have two defensemen that are hurt, they might be wishing.
Yeah, but I guess my point is the options are going to be the same then, you know, a small little trade.
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's not going to be a significantly impact player. That's I agree with you there.
I don't need them to copy paste exactly what they did last season, but I could see like a Jack Johnson PTO type player coming through in camp. And hopefully if there is some kind of concern on D, that could be where they get some resolution.
Yeah,
sure. But I, at this point, especially the PTO route would probably make a lot of sense, certainly on the defensive side. Maybe a little bit more flexibility on the forward side to actually bring in a contract. But, you know, again, they haven't shown any sense of urgency in doing anything there. So this may be what we're looking at for the team going into the season. And, you know, no doubt in season they'll make adjustments as necessary. But should be an interesting one, which, you know, funnily enough, we actually talked about starting to work on our season previews today off air. So it's probably still, you know, a month away, but something to start thinking about at very least. Anyway, we can get into the main topic of today's show, which I, if any of you have very strong feelings about a player, I'm opening it up. Who do you think is the most under or overrated player in the league?
Megan?
I could more easily come up with an underrated player.
Go for it.
I have talked about Mitch Marner on other shows before, so he was my player for this show. And seeing people in chat, even the graphic for Taves for the preview, there are so many more underrated players that I wasn't even thinking of, and I went outside of the abs too when I was thinking about both over and underrated. But Mitch Marner, the short version is, for similar reasons that sometimes Mikko Rantanen gets slept on as a player, I think Mitch Marner is also buried by such high-end talent around him in Toronto. And I also think that fan base specifically is really critical and has high expectations of its players, that sometimes I think Marner's talents aren't always recognized because he does continue to get better every single year. The production is there. It's trending in the right direction. He's even improved defensively. So there's just a lot of things to like about him. I know there's been a couple playoff appearances where he's been quieter, but the regular season and what the direction that he's trending in is really great for him. And I think that he deserves more credit.
This is not the conversation I thought we were going to start the show with, but definitely one that I wanted to get into. When you talk about some of these players in these extremely popular hockey markets, when you get into Toronto's, Montreal's, places like that, you see judgments are extremely black and white in these markets, where if a player makes some mistakes, they're immediately buried for it. It's so hard to recover in these markets once you have been given this label of a failure in that organization or whatever you want to put it as. So I do think that does have a big effect on it. Like you said, Marner is well over a point per game player in his career, which is over 400 games at this point. He's been a dominant offensive player. Obviously, the 2021 playoffs, he was kind of a scapegoat for that team. And yeah, with Matthews, with Nylander, with some of those other guys there, maybe doesn't get some of the credit he deserves. But more than anything, I think it's just, you've seen public opinion swayed on a guy because of how harsh the media has been on him.
Yeah. I mean, that playoff round, like, I don't know. Fan bases always look, like you said, for the scapegoat, someone to like blame it on. And it's always just silly because,
yeah,
you know, stuff like that. Oh, almost never can you point to like one person and be like, yeah, that's on you. Like, yeah, he got maybe some – him and Matthews got some well-deserved criticism, you know, for just that particular playoff run. I'm with you guys, though. I thought it way went overboard in terms of what they actually did. Another guy that – I don't know if he's necessarily like my like most underrated, but another one that I think just kind of falls into that same category on that same team is William Nylander. When you're just talking about two guys that are – unbelievably skilled and talented and at any moment can kind of take over a game. Like they have Nylander and Marner have that ability. And yeah, like you said, Megan, I don't know if it's the market he plays in, the players they're surrounded by or what, that causes some people to think that they aren't you know, playing to their fullest ability. These are both guys that are big point producers. There's always going to be ebbs and flows to players' seasons and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm with you. I think maybe these are two guys that are judged a little harshly. And like William Nylander, I feel like we've heard about in like rumor mills for years. And it's like, why are you in such a hurry to get rid of a guy like that? Like, I get if you're needing to make a move and improve your team, but like these are both guys that I feel like we've heard of in the past that Toronto fans are eager to get rid of. And they're both really, really high end players. So, I mean, I don't necessarily know if you consider that to be like underrated in the league, but those are two guys who I feel like maybe get judged a little bit more harshly than what they should, you know, like they're extremely good, very talented players. I said well over a point per game for Marner. People for some reason don't think that's quite good enough though.
I think it's similar to the conversations we've even had about Andrei Burakovsky. It's the type of production that if it's not in your lineup, it is going to be hard to replace out of nowhere. And my overrated player is another top line winger. And I think when you compare side by side, not every top line winger is created equally. And so that's why someone like Marner means so much to his team, because not every team has a top line wing that can contribute as much as Marner does. And I think that they're not created equally. It's Jamie Benn. That's my overrated player.
Is he overrated or is he just bad now? I don't know.
He's just old. Like, he is aging, but I even look at a side-by-side comparison, which isn't fair because they're completely different players. And it just, to have a franchise player, which is what I would consider Jamie Benn to Dallas, it doesn't really impress me much.
I mean, Jamie Benn is like the fear, right? That you see Jamie Benn and you're like, boy, I sure hope Landeskog's contract doesn't end up like that. Now, granted, Landy's making significantly less, but you're looking at player type, winger, power forward, that type of player. And I think a lot of people don't realize how far off the cliff Jamie Benn has fallen. One, yeah, because no one awesome. Watches Dallas because they're a horribly boring team, but right. Jesse, go ahead.
No. I was just going to kind of add to what you're saying. Like, I think we maybe underrate just how hard Jamie Benn fell off. He really was. Granted, that year he won the Art Ross was, it was like the like historically low scoring and all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, like Jamie Benn, like he was very good. I mean, really high end, really highly skilled power forward, you know, could finish, was mean. And then it was just like 1 year he showed up to training camp. It was like, oh yeah, none of that anymore. Yeah, just none of it.
He hasn't even hit 20 goals in the last three seasons. Now, granted, some of those are shorter seasons, but still.
Still.
The production's prime. Bad. Had 3 30-point seasons in 13 years.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And defensively, he's just gotten worse, too. It's just not great for him.
I mean, he can't skate very well anymore either. It's not good. It's not good for a guy that, again, it's part of this conversation is contract too. If Jamie Benn was making $6 million, you'd be like, well, you know, he's definitely fallen off, but whatever. But he's making $9.5 million.
Well, like, I'm sure he is still like a great guy in the room, and like I'm sure everyone loves him. So like, you know, I'm sure that's the stuff that's hard for us to see and appreciate, but. To your point, Rudo, of yeah, if this is a $4.5 million guy, you're like, yeah, you can live with the dip in production because he means so much to the team. It's a huge contract that you're paying for the production and the on ice results, and like the extra, like the locker room stuff is supposed to be extra with a guy like Jamie Benn. So yeah, I like that pick. As like maybe a most overrated, and I would even maybe say like a most misremembered of who this player actually is. Cause I feel like that's where you get a lot of the overrated guys is they did it once. So they did it for a couple of years and now everyone just assumes that's who they are now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a rough ride there for old Jamie Benn.
It's so.
I think too. Oh, he's. I even have concerns about his captaincy because I think as a team, Dallas appears uninspired, especially looking at last season and even seeing Tyler Seguin's play fall off. It's kind of like this is collectively happening and he's at the helm. And so it's just really hard to feel inspired by Jamie Benn.
Uninspired is a phenomenal way to describe that last year Dallas team. Do you guys remember the, I was like having like an aneurysm watching those, that team play down the stretch. It's like, they're giving it to you. They, Vegas doesn't want it. They don't want to be in the playoffs. They're giving it to you. And if you, I said this 1,000 times, like, if you straight up told me that the Dallas Stars got together and like, hey guys, we just want to get into summer. We don't want to make the playoffs. I would have believed you with the way that they looked on the ice coming down the stretch there. So I'm with you. I don't know. Maybe you do have to start looking at that. Is this a problem? Like, has in the same way that coaches can lose a room, like, has Jamie Benn lost that kind of leadership voice? Like, we saw them do it in LA.
It's funny, right? Because it does feel like Dallas's entire team is on the knife's edge. Joe Pavelski's 38.
Yeah.
They've already lost Radulov this offseason. They have a number of guys. Ryan Suter, 37. It just, you worry about the rest of their team taking a dive off the cliff the way Jamie Benn has.
Yeah. And honestly, and this one's even more injuries. And you know, I'm not trying to like pile onto the guy, but like Tyler Seguin, he's another one that, wow, has that been a rough decline. And he's another guy who, you know, is a leader, is supposed to be a leader in the room. And yeah, you just kind of step back and you look at that room and it's like, yeesh, are things starting to kind of unravel a bit there?
I saw, since we're on Dallas anyway, chat saying Miro Heiskanen underrated, yes or no?
See, and this is hard where I think you have to make your own determination of what you consider to be underrated. Because, like, I think Miro Heiskanen's a great defenseman. I think a lot of people see him as a really great defenseman. I think NHL Network just had him as, like, the inside the top 10 in terms of defensemen. I just think it's hard for him right now because he happens to be right in the middle of a generation of, like, all-world elite defensemen all over the league.
Yeah.
I don't really see him as underrated. I feel like we hear a lot about him and you know, I think a lot of people like him. It's just, you're right now you're competing with, you know, Fox and McCarr and Hedman, you know, Yossi almost had 100 points last year. It's, in my opinion, I think people see him pretty accurately.
I thought it was a good submission in chat because he wasn't even someone I considered when I was thinking of this list, but because I was looking at Dallas a little more closely because Seguin and Benn were both kind of in my over category, and seeing that he's only 23, I can actually see too, if he's able to emerge as a young promising star in a defensive system in Dallas isn't necessarily the place where you're going to shine. I think that deserves some proper credit too. That I think a lot of Dallas goes to the wayside because of where they're at as a team right now. So I don't know if nationally he gets the recognition he deserves or not, but I do think it's a credit to him as a player that he's been able to make an impact defensively on a struggling Dallas team.
So maybe not underrated, but poised to emerge.
Yeah, definitely.
He's on the cusp of that, in my opinion. He's on the cusp of that next tier of defenseman. I really do. I think he can get there. I really like Miro Heiskanen, but he's just right under that. Like I said, McCarr, Adam Fox, Victor Hedman. And I think he could break into that class? Yeah, for sure. I think he's that good. It's always going to be hard for him, though, because he was taken one pick ahead of Cale Makar. So he's always going to have to battle that.
Yeah, those things stick with you as much as I think it's stupid that they do.
Mm-hmm. But
There are some more defensemen I want to talk about, but first, we are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, who are turning 32 years old coming up in October, and they're throwing a big party. They're calling it the Hootenanny. It's going to be a whole weekend-long festival with food, beer, music, all the good stuff, a bunch of games as well. It's down at their Littleton location. You've got to go check this stuff out. They have some genuinely dope acts coming on, including the Spin Doctors. They have some local bands like Railroad Earth. So highly recommend you get over here, you get on it. You can go to events.seated.com/hootenanny22 for more details on the event. That's events.seated.com/hootenanny22. Hootenanny, Hootenanny 22. Breck's awesome. We always love him over here. The events they throw down at the farmhouse are sick. So if you haven't been to one, the Hootenanny is a great time to check it out. And it's right before the start of the hockey season. So a good way to kick things off, kind of. Go check them out. Or you can go to breckbrew.com. They'll have some info over there for you, too. Also brought to you by Athletic Greens. I'm with the two biggest Athletic Greens people in the company on the show today. So it's great product. It's just one scoop in your water every single morning with 75 vitamins and minerals to add for you. Probiotics, all sorts of other good stuff. Does it make you guys feel better? Does it wake you up? Does it get you going during the day, or how does it work exactly?
I feel more like alert. Like I can, if it's one of those things where I've got to get up and, you know, make sure I sit down and get this stuff knocked out. You know, we were talking in our meeting today. There's a few things that we're all putting together. Like I genuinely struggle to get going with that kind of stuff in the morning and sit down first thing. So if I have my Athletic Greens, I'm being serious here. It just helps me feel a little bit more sharp. I can go sit down and be a little bit more focused in and dialed. I make the joke all the time. I imagine it has the same effect that coffee has for a lot of people. I am not a coffee person. So that's not how I like get a boost of energy in the morning. That's the closest thing that I can think that this would equate to. Megan, I don't know if you are also a coffee person in addition to AG. It really does. It just kind of helps. Like, all right, cool. Shake the cobwebs out. Sit down. Let's get going. It just makes me feel more sharp is the best way I can put it.
I think that's true because I am a sometimes coffee person and it doesn't give me an immediate boost necessarily, but it gives me a boost later in the day when you might hit that afternoon period where you start to feel a little bit of fatigue set in. I don't really find that happening anymore. So I think it just helps me to have more energy throughout the day.
Even better. Even better.
It'll energize you up. It's great for your immune system too. A lot of athletes use it. It's just part of their daily routine. They say it helps with workouts and things like that. So go check it out today. You can go to athleticgreens.com/avalanche to let them know we sent you over there. And when you order, of course, you can get a year's supply of vitamin D just for purchasing. So go over to athleticgreens.com/avalanche to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Can I add one thing to that?
Go.
The immunity thing really was this like really funny like test study with me and Rudo, completely unintentional, because we got sick like on the exact same day. And there's no way it wasn't like at least some similar type of thing.
Right. Yeah.
And while I was still down for like over a week, Rudo was out for like three straight weeks.
It was brutal,
like
just, man. Yeah.
Getting beat up. And we have conducted our own unofficial studies and the results are in. It was because of Athletic Greens was the difference there. So.
Confirmed.
Yeah.
Greens make you that much more healthy when it comes to getting over a flu. Okay. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. My most overrated player is going to be a little weird, but stick with me on this one. Because I'm picking Roman Josi.
Ooh.
And not saying he didn't deserve to be in second place in the Norris.
Nope, but I like where you're going. I love your thought process here.
Had a fantastic year. Deserves all the credit. Yada, yada, yada. But this is the same year that Nazem Kadri just had. It's the same exact thing. The dude just had a career year that he's never going to be able to repeat. He's already 30. He's not getting any younger. It's 32 even. He turns 33 this season. You look at the trajectory of his career and you're already starting to see some 50-point seasons creep in. He's not going to be this obscenely productive defenseman that, yes, he had a great year. Yes, he deserves the credit for that. but he's got a bunch of years left at $9 million. And Nashville's entire existence basically rides on him continuing to produce at that level. And I don't think, I just don't see it continuing. I think people look at his game and expect way too much out of him based on this season.
I love that pick just because of it's what I said in our when we were talking about Mitch Marner. Like, it all depends on how you define underrated. Cause I'm with you there. Like, even I, in that last one, we were talking about Miro Heiskanen, and I listed off Makar, Adam Fox, Victor Hedman. And then I said, Roman Josi, and even in my own head, I was like, well, I don't really know if Roman Josi belongs in that category with those guys. Cause like, really, I do feel like he is an example of someone who he had an unbelievable offensive season. No doubt. Roman Josi is very, very good. I'm not saying he isn't.
That doesn't mean he's not overrated though. Yeah.
Somewhere along the way, he did get put up to like, oh, well, he's just as good as Cale Makar. He's just as good as Victor Hedman. It's like, no, no, he's not. He's very good, but no, he's not. Like, and so I'm with you. Like, that's a guy who I think is just the reputation exceeds the actual product on the ice. Not saying the product on the ice isn't good. It's just not what the reputation is.
And you're right. Underrated and overrated is an extremely fast moving target, right? Sure. Recency bias and otherwise has this very, very significant effect on how people view a player at any given moment.
Yeah.
So it is a hard target to really pin down for a player, but you know, I think we're starting to see some trends, certainly on the overrated guys. You look at how much they're getting paid and you look at their age and math starts to add up.
Yeah.
I think that's what is tricky with Roman Josi too, is it's a singular season. It's hard to project that he can repeat that for much longer at 32. I wouldn't say it's an anomaly. It is a testament to the level of player that he is, but it would be hard to expect that level of play to persist after 32 for several seasons.
Yeah. And it's just for me, overrated, underrated. It's just, you know, the conversation that you hear about him, because a lot of people, I remember a few years ago, in the early BSN days, and AJ and I had a conversation like this once. And one of the guys that I threw out was Nick Backstrom. In terms of underrated, and you know, I remember AJ saying, like, no, I feel like I hear enough people talk about him and things like that. And for me, and you know, not saying that he's wrong or whatever, but like, I view it as like, does what you hear in the conversation match the quality of player, right? Because there's a thousand things that go into how much is a player talked about, where the team's at in the standings, where they're geographically located. Is there another star on the team? There's all kinds of things, but when the conversation is had about that player, is what the majority of people is what they're saying relatively on par with, you know, how you view the player. That's how you, in my head, kind of determine if you think a player is over or underrated. And Roman Josi is one of those guys that I feel like when I hear people talk about him, it's like, wow, we watch the way he plays very differently. And then my most overrated is actually on that same team, and it's my same issue. Not saying he's not a good player, but you would think he's got 700-point seasons the way people talk about Philip Forsberg.
Yeah, he's always been a perennial underproducer, hasn't he?
Well, dude, he's kind of like Cam Ward. Weird comparison. Same, but different kind of thing. Where it's like every goal that Philip Forsberg scores is sick as hell. And so you see him on the highlight reels, you know, every week. You're like, whoa, that's awesome. Then the end of the season comes and it's like, oh, 26 goals. Like, yeah, pretty good. A lot of them were dope, but man, you would have thought that he had 50 goals this year, the way that people talked about the way he scores goals and stuff. And it's before this year, his career high was 64 points. He's usually somewhere in the 50s, couple 30 goal seasons. And obviously he had the big breakout this year, but so did everybody else on Nashville. So that is just
league wide, right? So,
mm-hmm. that's just, he's my guy in that same vein as Roman Josi, where it's just like, yo, we're not saying this guy isn't good, but when people talk about him, the on ice production just does not match the reputation he's got as like a goal scorer.
Well, that's Megan. We should have named the show after that. We should have done under or overrated. We should have done under or overdog.
Under overdog.
Dog or no dog?
Dog or no dog.
Total side note, this comment makes me laugh because it says, I love Sam Girard, but I think we Avs fans overrate him. I think he's so vastly underrated by Avs.
I agree.
He's so underrated that people actually think he's overrated. It's like when you're losing, you're so far behind, you actually think you're winning, kind of thing. Like,
he's the exact opposite of Josi and Forsberg, right? He just played his worst season of what's going to be the prime of his career.
Yeah,
like,
and we talked about him last week, and when all four of us were on, we were saying, look, there are a dozen, anywhere from half dozen to a dozen teams. Sam Girard's a top pairing defenseman on those teams. Like almost half the league, they're dropping him on that top pair immediately. Immediately. And Avs fans want to like run this dude out of town. I don't think people quite understand. I'm not saying Sam Girard's Cale Makar. It's a very good defenseman, very positionally sound, great skater. I think he is widely underrated. And the person saying I proved his point. No, I just proved my point.
The Avs have had a handful of situations over the years where I think as a fan base, their expectations get skewed.
Yep.
Obviously in goal, you know, anyone that was a fan in the 90s and early 2000s is like, okay, well, you now compare every goalie to the greatest goalie of all time. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit unfair. you look at Mikko Rantanen and Tyson Jost, 2 10th overall picks, but comparing them is not fair at all. Tyson Jost is much more in line with your average 10th overall pick. And now you take Sam Girard, which is like, yeah, he's not Cale Makar. But literally nobody is Cale Makar.
Right, right. Yeah, I think he came in, whatever it was, now 4 years ago, smaller guy, and he got off to a really good start. And I just, people kind of just settled into like, oh, he's going to be the next, you know, Tyson Barrie. He's going to run all the power plays, score a bunch of points, and, you know, drive offense like crazy. And because he's undersized, but again, he's positionally sound. He's not going to ever rock anybody, right? He's going to lose battles in front of the net. You live with the blemishes as you do with every player. But I think for the most part, to Rudo's point, he just had his worst season. Like, wasn't great. Like he wasn't good this year. You see if he bounces back next year. And if he doesn't, then maybe, yeah, this conversation changes a bit. But his track record in Denver has been very good, well above average. Stumbled a bit this year, and now we have people saying he's overrated. It's like, no, he's a very good middle pairing defenseman. Very good. That would be a top pairing guy on a lot of other teams.
I think it lends itself to your overrated pick as Forsberg is the value of Girard when you look at the contracts of these two players.
Yep.
The value of Girard because of his contract and you get a second pairing defenseman on a team with really elite defensemen is really hard to overstate. It's just, it speaks for itself and what Girard brings to the table compared to someone like Forsberg who that team is paying a high price tag for a player that doesn't always show up.
We should do this as a poll today based on contract and player. Who would you rather have, Sam Girard or Josh Manson right now?
Are you asking or do we want to do that as a poll?
Well, both.
And sorry, what was the start looking at the contract too?
Yes, including contract and player, like all encompassing. Who would you rather have right now, Sam Girard or Josh Manson?
Sam Girard.
Same. But I suspect a lot of people are going to answer that poll as Josh Manson.
I could see it being divisive.
The but best like part is that Joe Sakic said, por que no los dos? And right. You have them both, and they're probably going to plan a pairing together. And again, like, that almost even, like, just drives home, like, you found a great partner for him. Like, Josh Manson and Sam Girard were really good before Girard got hurt.
Yeah.
You found a really nice combination there. Again, Girard's still really young. And Megan, I'm glad you brought up the contract, because that's one thing that I remember. I started laughing last year. People like, oh, man, can you believe the contract we still have Girard signed to? It's like, no, but not in the way that you're complaining. I cannot believe the Avs have a 23, 24-year-old top four defenseman signed long-term for $5 million. Like, it's just go out there into the market and find that equivalent and, you know, see if you can get that kind of value. You can't.
All right. We are brought to you by FOCO. You can go over to FOCO.com today to get all of your Colorado sports merch. At this point, Broncos fever is basically reaching its breaking point, as they're, what, 15 days away from the regular season starting now? 14? Yeah, is it 2 weeks? So that's going to be a thing. Get used to it. It's always been a Broncos city. So if you want Broncos merch, they can cover you head to toe over at FOCO. Of course, if you want other merch, not the biggest Broncos fan, they got you covered there too with all the big four. They have Rapids. They've got Buff stuff. So whatever you're looking for, they can make sure you're covered. You can use code DNVR when you check out online at FOCO.com to get 10% off your order, whether it's merch or bobbleheads or hats or Crocs, which I don't, everyone I know is like obsessed with Crocs again. I don't get it, but.
Bro, put them on and you'll get it.
They're not comfortable. I don't get it.
They're so comfy. They're great if you're walking. They're great if you're walking or standing all day.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, go to FOCO. Go get whatever you want from them. And once you've got your sweet merch, make sure you can watch the sports that you like with Avoca TV. You can go to avoca.tv/Colorado10. That's EVOCA.tv/Colorado10 to get TV for just $15 a month for the first 3 months and only $25 a month after that. It's got Altitude, it's got AT&T Sportsnet, it's got the national channels. It also comes with the NFL Network and a bunch of other movie and TV channels for 60 channels total that have you completely covered for all your TV watching and sports watching needs. So go check out Avoca today. They've been great for us forever. They also were a big part of the Nuggets guys getting over to Serbia, and they're producing a whole documentary about that. So all the people that want to see the craziness of the life that the Nuggets guys got to live over in Serbia, it's going to be super duper awesome. Exclusive to Avoca at first. So be sure to get on Avoca if you want to watch that thing. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. I saw an interesting one to talk about from Adam up here. I can't find the comment, but he brought up Philip Grubauer's name.
Over or underrated?
That is the question.
I'm assuming overrated.
Is he? This one is just really tough for me because I think you probably could have made the case for him being overrated after his Avs tenure, but his reputation took such a big knock by the end of that Vegas series.
Yeah.
And then obviously this last season, I couldn't get any worse, right? Like,
well, he was always a really interesting one. Cause I mean, he was one of the goalies who, you know, we see it every few years. The Avs are trying their luck at it again with Georgiev, right? Where, hey, this is a guy that is stuck in a backup role. Once he gets a starting job, you know, we'll take over. And I mean, Grubauer had a lot of signs that pointed to that he was capable of doing that, whether it be international play. The year the Caps won the Cup, he really kind of stole the job from Braden Holtby, you know, until the playoffs really got going. But, you know, then he came to Colorado right as they were on that upswing, and he settled into the net, and he went from being this guy who had huge upside that everyone was dreaming on to, oh, well, he's just behind a stacked team. And so I feel like Philip Grubauer went really rapidly from really underrated. This is the next one of the next great goalies, you know, to come out of being a backup to very quickly. He was overrated. He's behind a stacked team. And, you know, wherever he goes next, he's going to get lit up. And then, unfortunately for him, that's exactly what happened. He went to Seattle and just got torched. And the worst part is for him, you can't even really be like, oh, well, it was because Seattle was so bad. Like, when you dive into the numbers, it's like, well,
their defense was he bad pretty because fine.
Seattle was bad? Yeah. Did Seattle lose a lot of games because Philip Grubauer was horrible?
Not good. It was not good.
So he's someone who I actually think has been on both sides of the spectrum.
Is that equal appropriately rated then?
I think he's rated, right. He's a better goaltender than last season. But is he best caliber season? Probably not. Probably somewhere in between.
Yeah. Yep. Very reasonable take there. Jesse, did you have an underrated player?
Underrated. Oh yeah, I get my overrated. You know, man, it's hard for me. One of my I didn't do too much digging into underrated. TJ Oshie's a name that's always come to mind for me in this category. Maybe not necessarily, you know, as much as he was a few years ago. But especially after he got to Washington, I always felt like his game kind of took that next step. And in my opinion, I just never felt like people gave him that full credit. He was always just kind of still viewed as the guy that he was in St. Louis, who, you know, he's talked about. Part of that was like a product of the system that they were asking him to do stuff that he had never, you know, really had never really been part of his game, and to abandon other parts of his game. To try to buy into something new, and how when he got to Washington, they just kind of said, no, we acquired you for you to be you, go out and do it. And I feel like just we as like a hockey community never really caught up with that and gave the appreciation for that it deserved. Cause I thought he got to Washington and someone who was already into his 20s for his career to take a jump the way that it did. He's someone that I've always kind of looked at as a super underrated player. And then you stack all that on top. Then you stack on top of that fact that he's seems to be just loved by his teammates. He's great in the communities that he's in, you know, all that stuff. And I've just always kind of viewed TJ Oshie as someone who maybe doesn't get quite the love. And again, he's on a team with Alex Ovechkin, Nick Backstrom, Evgeny Kuznetsov, not only great players, but big personalities. So he's someone that kind of blends in. He's always been someone that I have really found to be an underrated guy.
I like that.
Yeah, don't have a strong argument against it. The one thing I will say is that surprised me a little bit with that answer is when I think of underrated players, I tend to think of younger players.
Yeah.
And Oshie is very much not a younger player.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I don't know. See, like for me, it's just so hard. And again, this is me. Like, it's hard for me to, for kind of the point that we talked about earlier with whoever it was, goalie. Oh, Heiskanen. Where it's like, I just have a hard time over and underrating young guys. It's like, I don't know what they're going to turn into. Like, there's still so much room for them to become more or whatever. And so it's hard. I don't know. It's hard for me to view some of the young guys like that because I don't know.
See, I went the exact opposite way because my underrated guy is Lucas Raymond in the sense that he, at the start of the season, when he started off super hot, he was not underrated at all. Like, obviously, he was in the forefront of the Calder race, all that. But as the season went on, I think people kind of forgot about him. Obviously, look, Trevor Zegras is amazing. Not going to take anything away from him. And then Moritz Seider really is the guy that I think kind of put Lucas Raymond on the back burner because of how good he was and playing for the same team as a rookie. That's where the conversation, he kind of started to fall off. You also had Michael Bunting's great year up in Toronto. So I do think people just kind of forgot about Raymond, and he put up 57 points this year as a rookie, so it's kind of a big deal. it was just weird to me how quickly that conversation fell off. Even, you know, I think people like Cole Caufield, once Montreal figured their shit out, kind of started getting more attention than he did. So, I don't know, maybe underrated is the wrong word. Maybe just kind of forgotten about a little bit is more accurate. But yeah, that's where I see some underrated stuff on the younger side.
Yeah, I mean, you see that stuff. You know, I mean, we talked about that at the beginning of the year before the injury stuff started coming up. What someone just put in chat here, you know, like Bowen Byram or, you know, Alex, again, this is all very early in the season. Alex Newhook, we were saying, are these maybe guys that should be in that conversation with some of those rookies? Because, you know, they're off to a really great start. And Byram is one that, you know, we'll see what ends up happening.
Yeah.
Stay healthy. And obviously Newhook didn't have the season that everyone wanted him to. But no, I totally get what you're saying. You see those guys all the time that are having like very quiet, equally as elite seasons, but for some reason they just don't
fade away. Yeah.
Yeah. They just don't get the same love or, you know, it's kind of explained away somehow.
Well, you know, it's again, it comes down to all those things we've already referenced already, right? He plays in Detroit for Raymond's case. So that immediately knocks him down a peg, and then he's not Mo Sider. So Mo Sider kind of sucks up all the attention from that Detroit market, and Raymond is just kind of there in the background.
Yeah.
I think that's why it's a good answer. He was just kind of buried in the Detroit forward group, and I think that's an impressive rookie season. So it's not to be understated. I think that's a great option. I would not, he wasn't even in consideration. And I think that's a testament to the fact that he would be underrated. After a 57-point season as a rookie, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I would throw Anton Lundell's name out there in Florida, too. A guy who I was not confident in his offense at all in his draft year. 44-point year. Really showed out for Florida. But also, Florida just gets the maximum out of their forward core every year, it feels like. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's... yeah, and then, like I said, then you start getting to over and underrated teams, and like, seriously, 2-3 years ago, I thought the Avs were a really underrated team, given the way they played and the way that you started to see that system being bought into and stuff. And Florida might be one of those, because, again, going back to what I was saying earlier about not, it's not necessarily how much attention are they getting, but when they get attention, what are people saying? And Florida's another team that even last year, Rudo was the poster child for this. And I mean, to be honest, I kind of agreed with him. You know, you just look at Florida and what they get out of their forwards and that the depth that they had. And there was a lot of things, but for some reason, when people talked about them, everyone was like, yeah, but I don't know. They'll still find a way to mess it up. And again, they did. So maybe people weren't underrating them, but. Yeah, I think you can find entire teams and entire systems and stuff that are underrated just the way that, you know, they use it, they come up through the system, whatever.
It's a great point that you can definitely rate entire organizations, not just player by player.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And some players end up overrated because they get into a really, you know, fortuitous system or
they
end up really underrated. See Val Nichushkin, like that was a guy who had a bunch of things had led to a certain area where no one wanted to touch him. And there was a great hockey player in there. If you found him and put him in the right, you know, situations and stuff. So it is funny how all of that can be tied in. If you know, you're talking about the right person.
It's when you actually expand the viewpoint a little bit, it's like, oh, okay. Sure, this guy might be overrated, but maybe he's overrated because he plays on Tampa Bay.
Right, right. Well, and this is actually because I just saw someone yesterday losing their mind over analytics on Twitter. I'm sure you're shocked. Really upset. You know, this isn't how you evaluate. You evaluate with your eyes and blah, blah, blah. And this is one of the areas as a guy who's, I think analytics are very valuable. I think you have to tie them in. As someone who's not like a huge analytics guy, this is where the analytics come in. in my opinion, it can kind of help you sift through some of that stuff. Hey, here's a player, and that's what the Avs Pro Scouting has done very, very, very well in the last few years. Yep. And obviously, it's easy for me to nitpick a guy like Val Nichushkin because it's worked out as well as it has.
That but, one's as obvious as it gets, basically.
Right. You know, Nichushkin, Lekkonen, even Abe Kubel to a lesser extent, you know, those are all guys that they've looked at and said, yeah, at time their eye test can struggle a bit, but we've seen enough with our eye test that we like it. And then when we dig into the numbers, we see something really, really consistent, really, really solid, really, really whatever, pick your adjective. And honestly, like that's AJ and I just did a show last week and we started talking about analytics a little bit. We got into the Moneyball stuff after and like, that's what they were meant for. Like, how can they support you to see a layer deeper than just watching film? You need to watch the film, but then can you look at something a layer deeper and say, hey, look, we think this guy's super underrated because what they're asking, you know, they're asking TJ Oshie to be someone he's not, to do something that he hasn't done his whole career. And when we look at it, we think we can do this, this, and this and get these results or whatever. And so that's just a nice little bow onto all of that. That's where analytics come in. That's where you then go to analytics and see if it can help you see, you know, a layer deeper.
Yep. Beyond the obvious.
It ties back to the graphic for the show being Devon Taves because he's 28, and to get the career we've seen in the last couple of seasons out of Devon Taves at 28, there has to be another layer to project what he's capable of as a stylistic fit in Colorado based on where he was coming from. And I think that happens with the use of analytics, and that's how he becomes a good fit in Colorado, is they were able to anticipate that.
Yeah.
For the record, I think today Devon Taves is properly rated. When he joined Colorado, definitely underrated, but he just finished top 10 in Norris voting. So
yeah. Yeah. When you're on a cup winning team, a lot of those guys tend to get pretty tend to get some respect.
It's a lot harder to be underrated when you just won the cup.
Yeah. Well, then we had a comment just come in right here at the end, my last kind of thing, or wrapping up. It said Franz Tolles is way overrated by Avs fans. That's just kind of my Grubauer example where like, to me, Pavel Franz Tolles is kind of in that, not to the same extent because he hasn't had anywhere near the type of international success that Grubauer was having with Germany. But like Franz Tolles is in that same kind of tier. I guarantee you 100%, and I know this because I talked to people about this, there were over a half dozen teams that were like itching for Pavel Franz Tolles to get to unrestricted free agency so that they could give him a crack at least a 1A type situation. You may be right. He may be a little bit overrated once he actually, if he gets that opportunity, but he's just one of those guys. It's more of dreaming on the possibilities, in my opinion.
Oh, I think an interesting part of that conversation is you specifically said overrated by Avs fans. If you look nationally, I think Francois probably is not overrated. He's probably just not talked about very much at all on a national scale, if you're being honest. So that does went kind of where we started the show. Toronto media has such big pull nationally across the league that, you know, they might have more sway than the media of a team like Colorado, of a team like Florida, where you don't hear as much coming out of the media from those places. It's harder to get those players to an overrated state league-wide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, seriously, like it could be one of those things where if stuff happens this year and Frankie ends up as the number one, or when this deal is over here in a couple of years, he goes somewhere else. Like, he really is someone that it's hard to over and underrate backup anything, goaltenders, quarterbacks, whatever. Just because until they get that full workload, you won't know. I mean, it's funny, just since that comment has come in, there's been like 18 different opinions on who Frankie is, and he swept the Western Conference final. I don't know. Like, he might be good. He might just be a really good backup. I just don't know.
Yeah, it's, you know, and everyone's going to have their own opinion there on how good they think Pavel Franz Tolles can be. And, you know, depending on how his career plays out, maybe some team will eventually give him a starting job and we'll see, or maybe that won't happen and we'll never really know.
Yeah.
But based on what we have, the best you can do is form your opinions. And that's kind of where I want to end the show, is under and overrated. is entirely an opinion.
Yeah.
There's a general consensus opinion, and that's usually what you go off of. And if your opinion differs, like Jesse was talking about earlier in the show, whether you think he's under or overrated. But at the end of the day, there is no statistical marker for what an under or overrated player looks like.
Yeah. Over and underpaid is really the only thing that you can like concrete go on.
Sure.
But even, you know, even then that could even be subjective, because you could say a guy's overpaid and you talk to the team and they're like, no, we paid him that because this organization would crumble without him because he, you know, whatever. Like,
yep.
It's a great point to end the show, Rudo. It's hard to say any of this definitive.
Right.
No doubt about it. Any other final thoughts, or are we good?
I'm good.
Under overrated mascots.
Wow. Gritty is appropriately rated and he's the best. That's all that matters.
Wonderful.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
Everyone else has got to level up. That's all.
Everyone else needs to level up. I just wanted an excuse to talk about Gritty on the show.
So I will say this for hometown Bernie, just as like a mascot, just in general, Bernie is phenomenal at games. He does a really good job. Especially during some of those like dog days there in like March, you know, early April and stuff like that. There was a lot of games where I caught myself just kind of following Bernie around.
I should have.
Does a really good job. Arena.
It fits with the rest of the Avs talk that I was talking about, goalies with Wah. Bernie's great, but he'll never live up to Howler.
Yeah. People will always be upset about dog days. I didn't even think about that. Great call, AJ, in the chat. I don't know. Howler was so dope.
Yep.
I got our Breck Brew playoff shirts for everyone in my family last year. And the first word unanimously, four family members, all four of them unanimously, the first word out of their mouth, oh, Howler. Oh, my gosh, it's Howler. Oh, Howler. It's like, yep, everyone knows him. Everyone loves him.
This is why we need the foot logo as the main logo on a jersey for the alternates for the Avs, okay?
Or just bring Howler back and pull a New York Mets and have two logos and just say, F it. Do it.
It's fine. Just do it. Okay. On that note, we're going to get out of here. We appreciate all of y'all hanging out with us for the episode. Have at least one pretty cool show planned for later this week, so be sure to keep your eyes peeled for that one. Should be a good time. We will be back tomorrow. Until then, we will talk to you later.